It's now time to look through the window of baseball with our favorite, and that's Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, good morning. Interleague play, A's and Giants. Are you excited?
Well, now, for this one I am. I mean, I can get up for, you know, Washington playing Baltimore or all New York or all Chicago, and this is one of those that that I think has appeal even beyond the Bay Area. I think a lot of people are interested to see how this one comes out.
Yeah, and, you know, as I've said this morning a few times, the A's were an inch away from being in the World Series last year.
Yeah, I mean, they had the best record in all of baseball from some point in June on, and they're so legitimate, and they're still kind of underplayed. I mean, I still think they can sneak up on people. It's funny. I mean, you'd think after last year that there wouldn't be any big shock, but they're in that position to do it again, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're right there in September.
Bruce, Matt Cain showed me something yesterday, and you know, we're sitting at the game. I always like to sit out in the stands to begin the game, and
yeah. You
know, like you and I do in spring training, just to get the feel of the game. And he walks five in the first two innings. And he gets out of trouble because he completely owns Carlos Gonzalez, and which is incredible to me. He's a good left-handed hitter. Here's a right-handed pitcher. 4-for-38 now against him. And he gets out of trouble by getting Gonzalez. But then he does something that the great pitchers do. If you don't knock them out early, they somehow pull it together and get the game together. And he did it and gave him five innings, and they won the game.
Yeah, and the great thing about the Giants is that they give guys a little bit of rope. You know, the Kane hit for himself early on, and they were giving him a chance to right the ship. I mean, five walks would fry a lot of guys, at least for that day, and we'll see you next time. But, and the fact that he could get through Gonzalez when he didn't really know necessarily where the ball was going was really impressive. I mean, Kane's just, he's a monstrous talent. I really think when it really shakes down, I still think he's the guy you send out there,
right.
You know, for that really big game. That's certainly no slight to Bumgarner, but I think eventually Kane's going to reach the point where the first inning is going to remind you a lot of the sixth.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. And I posed that question last night on the show. Who's your number one guy? I don't care what Bumgarner does.
Yeah.
In the game that you got to win, I want the ball in Kane's hand.
And that's not Kane's history. Really, isn't the sort of thing where get him early. I mean, it's kind of always been the case, but you know, he's just as likely to go out and take a shutout into the eighth. So
yeah, and he could get back if he's in trouble, and that's what we've seen the Colorado game when he was down 6-0. Somehow he retired 13 of the last 15, and they came back in the game. And yesterday, 11 of 12, and got him back in the game.
Yeah, and his velocity is good. His breaking pitches are sharp. He's that's what you look for. If a guy is struggling, like there's no bite on the breaking ball, the velocity's down, you're going, oh man, maybe there's something going on in the arm. But that certainly doesn't seem to be the case. So I don't think there's a whole lot of cause for concern there.
Well, the other part yesterday I talked about, and we watch so many games. There's something called baseball luck. And, you know, the ball goes up in the air and the right fielder dives for it. And there's nothing prettier if you're hoping for a hit than to see the dive and have the ball loose after that when it comes out. It's like the biggest fumble in the world. And the other one is, and the crowd gets into it, those pop-ups. And this, you remember Candlestick was like, it was crazy. But this place, you know, yesterday was a windy day, a lot of sun. Second baseman loses the ball. This was LeMahieu, who was having a good series, loses the ball, and all of a sudden it falls, and the roof fell in after that. So there's something about baseball luck, but there's a beauty in watching an outfielder dive for the ball and have the ball come loose.
Yeah, and we're going to see a lot of that here at AT&T, like we always did at Candlestick. This park was built so well that most of that prevailing northwest wind is cut down, especially for the fans, but out on the field, I mean, you could see the frustration. Some of the Rockies, even when they caught the ball, it's like, geez, did that really happen? And Tulowitzki, I think there was a ball he would normally catch with his back to the plate that he didn't get. And, they still have that chilly, windy Northern California advantage going for them.
Yeah, Ron Wotus brought up a couple of things yesterday, and get your reaction to it. One, playing right field in this park is no picnic for a couple of reasons. One, you have the alley. And you have to protect that, and but you have the right field line you got to deal with. The other thing he brought up is the angle of that wall in right field. It goes out from the from the foul line to that 421. And as a as an outfielder, you have to know where you are in the field when you start going back on a ball. And Hunter Pence, believe it or not, you know, he didn't come in with a great reputation on defense. He sort of mastered that, where a Bryce Harper, who plays here three times a year, had trouble with.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that you have to know where the ball's going to hit. If it hits off brick, it's going to be true. If it hits off, you know, in that archway area, I mean, God knows what's going to happen. You go down in the right field corner, I mean, there's a bullpen down there. And, you know, all of a sudden you're dealing with a rising mound of dirt. And I was talking to Pence about it in spring training. He said, you've really got to be an athlete in this park to play right field. And I know his defensive reputation wasn't the greatest, but he really doesn't have any fundamental flaws. He's got a weird way of throwing, but he runs well. He tracks the ball down, and he's adapted to that pretty quickly. It doesn't mean there won't be a few surprises down the line, but that's going to happen to anybody out there.
Yeah, but he somehow gets to the ball, and as I say, you don't see the ball squirting loose from him. He generally smothers it or he gets there. And the other thing that Ron Wota said yesterday, and I really hadn't thought about it in this sense, the Giants have a great advantage. Now, they're on the road in June. It's going to be a tough June. Believe me, I don't care what anyone says. This is not going to be a picnic. And you can't get discouraged, because the second half of the season, they play a ton of games at home.
Mm-hmm.
And teams that come in here, now, of course, you know what the weather is here in the summer. It's freezing.
Yeah.
And teams come in from all parts of the country. They have trouble adapting to it. And Ron explained and sort of compared it like to a Colorado of going in there. The Giants have a tremendous home field advantage the second half of the season.
Yeah, and in Colorado, it's not so much the weather, but the altitude. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, outside of I had a daughter who studied in Scotland, and outside of Glasgow, I think we have the worst summers in the world. and if you're coming from Pittsburgh or Atlanta,
right, or St. Louis,
yeah, almost anywhere, even L.A., you come up here, it's like, oh, my God. It really is an incredible difference. And it's not bad baseball weather once we get past spring. It's pretty invigorating. I know a lot of guys kind of enjoy it. I know, you know, Linscomb, of course, he grew up in Seattle. But it's a real, real change. And for guys who play there all the time, I totally agree. It's a nice advantage to have.
Yeah, just to give you an example, and, you know, it's probably worth a column at some point if it goes true in the summer. But in July, Dodgers come in, Mets come in, Arizona comes in. They'll probably enjoy the cool weather. But then Cincinnati comes in, the Cubs come in. They're coming in from the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee, you know, indoors, but it's still hot there. Baltimore, you know what that's like in August. Boston.
Oh, God.
How about Boston in August?
Oh.
And Pittsburgh in August. And that's July and August, the home games for the Giants. So even if they don't have a great June, July and August bodes well.
Yeah, well, June's going to be interesting. I mean, that series in Atlanta is going to be tough, and they're in Arizona and Pittsburgh before that. It's fraught with peril, as
yeah,
they say. And then they got to go down to L.A. also. But, you know, this team, I mean, you watch them day to day. I don't think anything leads you to believe that they're going to, you know, lose 9 out of 11 or drop out of it. It's just not going to happen. There's too much character, too much pitching, too much stability up and down the coaching staff, and it's just a good thing.
You have a favorite baseball holiday, and I say it, I asked John this the other day, Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day. I guess opening day would be our ultimate favorite. You know, we love that one. But during the season, do you have one that you say, oh, good, you know, baseball today, I feel good about it?
Yeah, I always miss the 4th of July because I was over in England for Wimbledon tennis a lot of the time. So that's always kind of escaped me. But Labor Day, I've always really enjoyed, especially being in the East. I've been in New York for a few of them, and you know, the summer's turning to fall. With any luck, you get a little bit of bite in the wind. You can just feel the difference. You can feel autumn coming on, but the weather's absolutely perfect. You know, to me, Labor Day in the East Coast, given that the summer is sort of giving way to fall, is really magical.
Well, the other point I want to just touch on with you is Walt Weiss. Have you seen Walt Weiss, his walk to the mound or his walk on the field? Have you seen this?
Well, I know I haven't really studied it. I'll have to.
All right, let me tell you, it's the slowest walk in the history of baseball. You know, it's like you used to play that game, baby steps or giant steps. I mean, he was a shortstop. He was a tremendous athlete, rookie of the year.
Yeah.
He walks as slowly as anyone I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, except unless he's got to go out and make a point with the umpire, I guess. But
No, he walked out slowly for that too.
Is that right? By the time he gets there, he forgot what he was going to say.
Really? And then he walks back slowly, and then he makes a pitching change. He could bring in two separate pitchers at the time. It's really kind of funny. But you know, he's got his team playing, and you know, Kirk Gibson and Bochy, and you know, I don't know what'll happen with Mattingly and you know Bud Black. It's a good division. It really is a good division.
Yeah, well, Weiss is such an interesting guy. You know, when he was with Oakland breaking in, I mean, he's around Canseco and McGuire, Ricky Henderson, Dave Henderson, Dave Parker. I mean, just all these guys. And early on, he made it clear to all the guys that he had a lot of leadership qualities in him. And he was real quiet at first. He didn't try to take over. But, you know, as time went on, he became an unquestioned leader of that team.
Yeah.
So when the Colorado yanks him basically out of the high school ranks.
Come on. And someone asked me this yesterday. Has there ever been a major league manager that's been chosen from coaching high school baseball and football? And
I can't think of
Bobby Winkles? I don't know.
You know. But, I mean, and he'd been in the organization a long time in various roles and obviously knew all about him. But you never know until a guy takes over what's going to happen. And he's been great. I like the Rockies. I like watching the team. They play good defense. Yeah. You know, they're obviously the hitting is always there. The pitching is always going to be a question, but they're tough. They're tough out.
Yeah, they are. Last thing on Walt Weiss, he wears number 22. And, you know, I grew up in Miami, and Miami Dolphins were a big team for me. His favorite player of all time, Mercury Morris.
Oh, yeah.
22. And I said, all right, you know, we have that together. I said, why didn't you take 66 for Larry Little? He said, the number was too high.
Absolutely. Yeah, all those high numbers. I mean, unless you're Barry Zito or you got a real personal thing going, the high numbers don't work. To me, anything over 53 is a little dubious.
Well, that was Don Drysdale.
Right.
Hey, good to have you with us, of course, and Memorial Day. And we'll talk to you next weekend.
Okay, Marty. Look forward to it. Thanks.
All right. That is the wonderful Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle.